Faith, religion, and politics have been intertwined for years, but our next guest says that how they interact has changed and that the ways that Americans find their religion has changed too.
Kenneth Woodward joins us now. He edited Newsweek's religion section for nearly 40 years. His most recent book is called Getting Religion: Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama. Kenneth, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure.
So your book, Getting Religion, starts with President Dwight Eisenhower and ends with President Barack Obama. Why start with Eisenhower?
Because Eisenhower was president at a time when the United States was at its most religious. In the 1950s, just to recount for a minute, 98% of people said they, when asked by pollsters, that they believed in God. They backed it up too. They were in the churches and synagogues on the weekend. They built more churches and more synagogues in the 50s than at any time before or since. Half the Catholic school kids were in Catholic schools, which is not true today. Protestant Sunday school was a national institution. Eisenhower was proclaimed by the Republican National Committee to be not only the president and not only the commander-in-chief, but also the spiritual leaders of our time. So there was an intertwining of patriotism and politics at that time that we haven't seen since.
So how much would you say the religion of a presidential candidate has played a role in campaigns and elections, say, in the 20th century?
Except for the negative one against Kennedy as the first Catholic, not at all. Not at all. And I would say, furthermore, that while there is a relationship between religion and politics, whatever the belief system of a president was, it has absolutely no connection to foreign or domestic policy. I mean, one could argue that Woodrow Wilson was a pretty categorical Calvinist, and that characterological aspect of his religion would be is one reason why he was holding out for the Treaty of Versailles for total surrender and all of that. But there really wasn't. And I know they talked about George Bush Jr. Mentioning religion so much, and there were great fears, at least on the left, that there was he was going to institute a theocracy. Well, that's ridiculous, and he didn't. And if there ever was one, you'd want to point to Eisenhower.
So you're saying that the religion of any particular president has not really shown to impact their approaches to different types of policies, but do the voters realize that, or have voters historically taken into account what a president's religion is and how they feel like maybe his values would match with their own?
Well, religion and values are two different things. We all got values. We don't all have religion. And if we have religion, we don't always have it. We can have it in a very tepid sort of way. The best line on this I heard was from Eugene McCarthy. He's a good friend of mine. He's probably the only really intellectually informed Catholic ever to run for president. And Gene used to say that there were two kinds of religion that were tolerable in Washington: strong beliefs vaguely expressed and vague beliefs strongly affirmed. And I think that's pretty well true. And apply it to, in this case, to Romney: strong beliefs, vaguely affirmed. Obama was vague beliefs, strongly asserted. So that's kind of my take on it. What the pollsters do is, after the fact, in exit polls, they'll say, well, tell us what you are and how you voted, in effect. And they'll tell you after the fact how Catholics or evangelicals or whatever voted. But and there will be appeals to those constituencies. Trump, for example, has tried to appeal to evangelicals, and he's not a, you know, quite seriously, he's just not a religious man. Hillary is, but it's a as I describe it in my chapter. In fact, I'm going to have a piece in the Wall Street Journal this week about this, the Methodist moment in the Democratic Party that began in 72. Too long to talk about here, but she's a serious Methodist. But it's and Methodism is a very can be a very activist religion, and so they are the ones that gave us prohibition, for example. And so there's a sense of we know what's good for you, and I think that's part of her personality. It's a little off-putting to a lot of people.
We're talking with Kenneth Woodward right now. He edited Newsweek's religion section for nearly 40 years, and we're discussing his most recent book, Getting Religion, Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama. And Kenneth, you mentioned John F. Kennedy a little while ago, and he was one candidate who faced a lot of questions about his Catholic faith, what it would mean were he to be elected, whether he would his loyalties would be split between the Vatican and the people he's representing. Let's listen to him answer a question about that in 1960 when he was running against Richard Nixon.
Article 6 of the Constitution says there shall be no religious test for office. That's what was written in the Constitution. Jefferson, Washington, and all the rest. They said every American will have an opportunity. Now, you cannot tell me that the day I was born, it was said I could never run for president because I wouldn't meet my oath of office. I would not have come here if I didn't feel that I was going to get complete opportunity to run for office as a fellow American in this state. I would not run for it if in any way I didn't feel that I could do the job.
So John F. Kennedy is calling on Article 6 of the Constitution that says there is no religious test for being the president. But is that really the reality? Is there some kind of a religious litmus test that presidential candidates are expected to mean?
Oh, there used to be. I don't think so anymore. Look, what you have to understand is until Kennedy, well, actually until Al Smith in the 1924, there were huge majority of Protestant Americans who thought that this was a Protestant country. They genuinely feared in 1924 that a Catholic might become president and maybe challenge prohibition. Prohibition died anyhow. There really was. When Kennedy ran, I tell the story, it's too long to tell over the radio, of how Billy Graham and Norman Vincent Peale and others secretly met and connived to prevent a Catholic from becoming president. Obviously, and the irony is, Kennedy wasn't a very good Catholic. He was a tribal Catholic. It was part of his being Irish, and his father certainly didn't take it seriously, and although Bobby did. Anyhow, that once a Catholic was president, that was the end of it, and it's not an issue now. I think in the 50s and in the 60s, if somebody was of no religion, that would have been a problem. I don't think it's a problem today, as a matter of fact. So there really isn't a religious test. Adlai Stevenson ran in 52, and he was a Unitarian, and that was considered a little weird and not quite American enough. So I think those kinds of attitudes are gone. Unfortunately, among the young, they're not very well versed in religion. They couldn't tell you what, if I mentioned somebody was a this or a that, they wouldn't know what that meant.
So, Kenneth, I'm going to push back a little, though, because you were talking about Kennedy and being a Catholic, and that was a big deal. And then once he was elected, it wasn't a big deal anymore. But I'm not convinced that that means that that people are ready in general to look at candidates without zeroing in on, say we had a candidate who we have had Jewish candidates, not nominees, but candidates, but a Muslim candidate or a Buddhist or a Hindu and people running to be president. Can you actually see that not being an issue in a pretty polarized religious context right now?
Well, Joe Lieberman was a vice presidential candidate. One of the things I liked about him personally was that he was serious about being Jewish. He was a religious Jew, and he was connected to religious institutions in the Jewish community. That's less than half of American Jews are. They're the least religious group in the country. As for Muslims, this is all brand new, or a Buddhist, or something like that. You may say, you know what, you're talking about a very, very small slices of the pie. We're just getting used to having them over here. But the kind of Buddhism that survives in this country is pretty tepid, pretty lukewarm, and I don't think it would I don't think it would matter. To be, it may be a matter of curiosity. Look, Mitt Romney ran. The Mormons have been around for since the middle of the last the 19th century. He finessed it by, and I talk about this in the book. He finessed it by deflecting all questions to the church's public relations apparatus, and didn't talk about it, his religion. And the funny thing is that the religion was deeply serious and deeply shaped by that religion, and his piety was that way. And polls showed from Pew that 80-some percent of Americans knew little or nothing about Mormonism when he started to run, and the same percentage after he had run said the same thing, hadn't learned anything. So you and I are going to differ a little on that. A Muslim, maybe, for obvious reasons, for what's going on with terrorism.
Well,
but almost anybody else, it wouldn't matter.
Well, and that's interesting, because an aspect of the Obama presidency has been the very firmly held belief on the part of some Americans that he is, in fact, Muslim, and that is used as a strike against him. And so, in a weird way, it's not what his religion is that's being used as a litmus test. It's what is being projected on him, and yet it is mattering for a lot of people.
Well, I would disagree there, too. I think people don't like, the people who suspect he's a Muslim are the people that don't like him anyhow. And that's, if they suspect he wasn't, you know, the birthers and so forth, it's the reverse. It's, we don't like him, here's another reason not to like him. Here's why we think he's other, you know. I had a friend of mine who knows better, and he kept calling him Barack Hussein Obama. He says, I'm sorry, that's his middle name. His mama called him that. And the effort was to say, to suggest that he wasn't wholly American. And I think it's a case of people using that because they already don't like him.
We're talking about how religion and politics intersect in America, and especially how the religious beliefs of presidents have come into play. And we're talking with Kenneth Woodward, whose most recent book is Getting Religion, Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama.
And we want to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. Is the religion of a presidential candidate an important factor to you in deciding whether or not you're going to vote for them? And if it is, what is it about their religion that you're looking for in particular? Is it specific policy positions, just a sense of ethics and morality, or just the fact that they have a faith that's important to you? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our conversation about how religion and politics intersect in America, especially when it comes to choosing a president. Kenneth Woodward is with us. He edited Newsweek's religion section for nearly 40 years. His most recent book is called Getting Religion, Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama.
And we'd love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you care what religion a presidential candidate is? Is it important to you? Would you ever vote for a candidate who said they did not follow any particular faith? What about your own religion? And have you continued in the faith of your parents and your family, or have you gone in a different direction? And how significant a role should religion play in our nation and how it's governed? Call 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Kenneth, we have some callers who would like to join the conversation, so let's go first to Jerry in Hamburg. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. I'm just wondering what he thinks would be the reaction of the voting public to someone who was an avowed atheist running for president.
And actually, Jerry, I'm going to, before Kenneth responds, I want to ask you what you think would happen.
That's one of the things. I'm not sure. I think it would cause a lot of problems. I think people have a bias against non-religious people.
Thanks for that, Jerry. And Kenneth, what do you think?
Well, maybe they have a bent for religion, which most people do. I still think that's a taboo that hadn't been broken. But look, I think we've already seen somebody like that, and it didn't make any difference, okay?
And who was that?
Bernie. I don't think Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is Jewish. He's not religious. And he calls himself a socialist. He really comes from a whole different immigration tradition of Central European socialist Jewish immigration back a couple a generation or two ago, at least two, I would say. If somebody was like a Dawkins or a Chris Hitchens, whom I knew pretty well, Christopher Hitchens, who was an argumentative atheist, which is to say he really doesn't like religion, that person would have a problem because most people in this country, whatever level of seriousness, are religious.
Mm-hmm. And I want to go into that aspect, Kenneth, of your book. It's called Getting Religion, and you look exactly at that in terms of how Americans come to their own faiths now as opposed to maybe earlier generations.
Well, I think, well, first of all, if you... the reader picks up this book, they're going to see the word Protestant, Catholic, or Jew appears in none of the chapter titles, because the concepts I use, like entrepreneurial religion, movement religion, embedded religion, are the ways you bring religion and culture and politics together. And so it's a rather different look at things than people usually make it. When I talk about evangelical religion, I don't really talk about... I talk about it as a... entrepreneurial religion. If you understand that aspect of it, you see what makes it different from other forms of Christianity. And then, of course, there are all the alternatives to religion. There are therapeutic alternatives, but there were a lot of them in the 70s and the 80s, which is a really weird time. People still have to contend with the problem of death, and there were alternative ways of trying to cope with death. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is a name to conjure with. She was big on death and dying. So I'm looking at the whole culture and just not, you know, religious enclaves.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones, and Jackie in Milwaukee joins us. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I think religion, specifically Christian religion, has a great deal of impact on our choices for president. When they had the questioning of the candidates, they all had to agree with the Genesis creation story. They all had to state that they were Christians, you know, and even a Mormon had to say, well, that's Christianity as well. And they all make appearances before the conservative religious organizations to make their pitch that they believe in Christianity and they're going to uphold the Christian beliefs when they get into office.
Thanks for that call, Jackie. Kenneth?
I just disagree, that's all. It's just not the case. Occasionally, if they ask a loony question on television, those debates about religion, it's a softball question that comes out, you know. So I don't think that it's simply not true anymore that you have to be, you know, answer as a Christian. I think those days are over with, even though your caller may feel that it isn't. The Republicans, I mean, they go before a lot of groups. It is quite true that the people who register as non-affiliated, is the largest single group constituency within the Democratic Party. And yet Hillary Clinton is a very serious Methodist. Her positions on social issues are drawn very much, and I talk a lot about this in the book, from the positions of her church. And Donald Trump will knows that there is a evangelical constituency in the Republican Party, has been since the start of, let's say, 1976 in reaction to Jimmy Carter. And he has to talk to that. He's just not a religious person. He doesn't act that way. There's nothing about his values that would be remotely Christian or evangelical Christian. So that's a constituency to be courted. And in the Democratic Party, it's always been go to black churches. That's a sociological phenomenon more than anything else. So... yeah, if you want to get to the black voter, you go to the black church. It's just the way it is. And but I don't think that somebody has to feel that religion is pushing politics in that way. It really isn't. You go to where the people are.
But I want to say, Kenneth, that Donald Trump, who, as you said, is really not and has not been a religious person mm-hmm. in his life, he felt the need to hold a press conference stating that he was a Christian, and he has appeared in black churches as well. So doesn't that say something? Because Donald Trump doesn't seem to feel pressured by much of anything to say things that he is or isn't. He is still feeling that pressure.
Oh, wouldn't put it that way at all, as a matter of fact. As I said to you, the evangelicals have been a strong constituency within the Republican Party. He decides to run on the Republican ticket. He's got to speak to that constituency. Just like in Jack Kennedy's era or Lyndon Johnson's, you had to speak to the labor movement, the labor leaders. No different. Or the people that really, the engine that runs the Democratic Party when it comes to presidential politics is really the abortion lobby. This is a no-no. You're not supposed to talk about it. But anybody that gets Planned Parenthood's, handout notices, they're like the old labor leaders who used to, man the phones.
And I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there, Kenneth. Thanks so much for being with us today. Kenneth Woodward's new book is Getting Religion, Faith, Culture, and Politics from the Age of Eisenhower to the Era of Obama. You can comment on the Facebook page.